Welcome to the LeanZone.com podcast, where we discuss construction contracts, liens, and bonds. And now, our host, Alex Barthet.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Alex Barthet. I am a board-certified construction lawyer, and today we're going to talk about what options you have if you missed your lien or notice of non-payment deadline. We're going to go over briefly what the basic notice and lien rules are. Then we'll talk about whether or not you actually missed a deadline. You'd be surprised how often clients come to me and I tell them that they didn't miss a deadline even though they thought they did. So we're going to go over those exceptions to the lien rule. We'll look to see if whether or not there's another bond you can go after. Assuming we exhaust all possibilities of making a claim on lien or a bond, we'll talk about how to sue for breach of contract, how to sue for unjust enrichment, which are the two causes of action that we typically go to if there's no bond or lien right. Let's talk briefly about what the basic notice to owner and lien rules are. So generally speaking, and this is definitely 30,000 foot level, you need to send a notice to owner no later than 45 days from your first work or delivery of materials to the site. That's the absolute latest time that the owner and any party designated in the notice of commencement needs to actually receive the notice to owner. The claim of lien or notice of non-payment on a bonded job needs to be either recorded for the claim of lien or delivered for a notice of non-payment no later than 90 days from your last work or delivery of materials to the site. And then the last big deadline is that you have to file suit on your lien within 1 year of the lien recording date, or for a bonded job, you need to file suit within 1 year from your last work on your bond claim. Now, as to that last deadline, notice the distinction between the two dates. The lien gives you a little more time than the bonded job. So just know that if you have a bond claim, it's 1 year from last work. We have had some clients make that mistake and lose their rights. Now, all of these general rules have lots of exceptions. So with that, let's talk about whether or not you actually missed the deadline. So the most common exceptions are the following. This is an easy one. If you have a direct contract with the owner, you don't need to send a notice to owner. You still should send one, but if you haven't sent a notice to owner, then you still have lien rights if you have a direct contract with the owner. Next, no notice to owner, and technically on a bonded job it's called a notice to contractor, is needed when you have a direct contract with a bonded contractor. So let me explain what I mean. If you're working on a project and you are a subcontractor and your contract is with the contractor that has the bond, you don't need to send a notice to owner, and technically it's called a notice to contractor on a bonded job, to maintain your rights against that payment bond. So I had a client come to me once and he says, Alex, I screwed up. I should have sent my notice to owner to the contractor on this job. And we did some looking and we realized the job was bonded, and I told him, no, actually you didn't miss anything because you never needed to send that notice, that preliminary notice, at the beginning of the job. So don't fret if you're working on a bonded job and you have a bonded contractor that you are in direct contract with, you don't need to send that notice to owner or notice to contractor. You should still send one as your general process, but after the fact, don't worry if you didn't send one in that situation because you still have rights against the payment bond. Next, there is no notice of non-payment that's needed when you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor on a public job. So let me explain what I mean. If you have a contract and you are working for the bonded contractor, you don't need to send a notice of contractor. That's the first notice, the notice to owner. And because the job is public, you also don't need to send a notice of non-payment. That's the one that has to be sent within 90 days of your last work. So if you are working on a bonded job and you have a direct contract with the bonded contractor and the job is public, you don't need the first notice, and you, technically you don't even need the second notice to still have rights on the project. We had a client come to us and he didn't send any notices, and he said, Alex, I'm out of luck here. And again, we look through the project records and we realized it's a bonded public job and he didn't need either notice, and therefore he still had his rights against the bond. So it happens more than you may think, where there are folks that don't need, that think they need a notice when in fact they don't. Again, I urge you that you should still use a procedure, a process in your office where no matter what, you still send that notice to owner within 45 days and you lien and send your notice of non-payment no later than 90 days. On the, this is the last exception where you may think you missed a deadline, but you didn't. On a bonded project, the 45 days for the notice to owner, again, technically on a bonded job, it's called the notice to contractor, does not start to run until you have actual or constructive knowledge that the job is bonded. Let me give you an example of what I mean. We had a client come to us and he was a subcontractor on a bonded public job. He didn't send his notice to owner, and on because he was a sub, he needed to have sent that notice to owner. When he came to us, the job was pretty much done. It was about 60 days after he finished his last work on the job, and he said, I screwed up. I didn't send my notice to owner within 45 days of first work. And we did some digging, and we realized that the contractor did not record a copy of the bond in the public records, and there was no reference to it anywhere in the public records. Because the client did not know of the existence of the bond, and because the contractor didn't do what he needed to do to make sure that the public would know, which is recording a copy of the bond, or referencing a copy of the bond in the notice of commencement, that 45 days never started to run. So what did we do? We sent the day we got the file, we figured this out. The next day we sent our notice to owner, technically the note, it's called a notice to contractor, out to everyone that needed it. The very next day we sent our notice of non-payment. Now keep in mind, the job is 60 days done at this point. And then the day after that, we filed the lawsuit to make a claim on the payment bond. And the client recovered all of their money, about $100,000, plus interest and legal fees. So the client came to us thinking it was all but done because he missed his notice to owner deadline. But we found a way in the series of exceptions that exist in the lien law to breathe new life into his claim. The moral of the story, never say die, because there may be an exception that can save your claim. In order to not miss any of these deadlines, we have something called the CalcuLien. You can go to theleanzone.com/calculator and get one, and it'll help you calculate your claim of lien and notice to owner deadline. Just fill in the information on that site, and we'll go ahead and mail it to you for free.
This episode is brought to you by CPVCFiresprinklerReport.com. With recent lawsuits alleging that CPVC fire sprinkler pipe is defective, contractors, subcontractors, and suppliers now have a place to get accurate and up-to-date information. Visit CPVCFiresprinklerReport.com to learn the latest and protect your company.
So, you've gone through the exceptions and you realize that there are none that save you. So what is the next thing to do? The next thing to do is to see whether or not there's another bond on the job. And typically where this happens is if you are a subcontractor or a material supplier to a subcontractor or sub-subcontractor. So you're pretty far down the chain of command. It's possible, and it typically exists on larger jobs, that the subcontractor has a bond. If the subcontractor has a payment bond, you may have a right to make a claim against that payment bond. So if the job is bonded by the contractor, you would have a claim against that bond, but you also have a claim against the subcontractor's bond if the subcontractor has one. So the question that we get is, well, how do you get your hands on it? How do I know? The first part is that it doesn't exist in the public record. Unfortunately, you can't do a search for it. It's not the contractor's bond, which is typically the one that's referenced in the notice of commencement or recorded with in the public records. So if you can't get it in the public records, where do you get it? So the first thing you can do is you can ask the contractor for a copy. You could also ask the subcontractor for a copy, but you have to be careful asking the subcontractor for a copy because the subcontractor doesn't want you to know about their payment bond because they know that if you know about it as a sub-sub or a supplier, you may make a claim on it. So subcontractors may not be as forthcoming as the contractor would. Now, the contractor would be happy to give you a copy of the subcontractor's bond because they know that if they give you that copy, you're likely not to make a claim against the contractor's bond. Now, if you use Sunray, what they do is they actually call the contractor and the subcontractor and find out if the job is bonded as well. So one way to find out is when you use Sunray, they'll make the call, and if that job is bonded by the sub, they'll make a claim against that sub bond as well. You can send a written demand to see if you can get a copy. And let me give you an example of a situation that happened to us recently. We had a client who was a supplier on a job, and they called the sub, and the sub lied to them and said that they didn't have a bond. But we did some more digging with the help of Sunray, and we were able to find that the sub, in fact, did have a bond. And when they had the bond, we were able to make a claim. And just by making the claim on the bond, our client was able to get paid. So again, keep digging, and you may find another avenue to recover. Next, if you have determined that there are no exceptions to the lien or bond law and there is not another bond you can go after, then effectively you have two final recourses legally. The first is to sue for breach of contract. Now, suing someone for breach of a contract is pretty straightforward. All you need is an agreement with another person or entity. Ideally, it's in writing, but it doesn't have to be. And I have clients that come to me and say, well, I don't have a contract, I just have a proposal, or I just have a quote. That's okay. A proposal, a quote, an invoice, even a handshake, it doesn't even have to be in writing. We can work with all of those things, and the court, with enough evidence, will support the idea that you had an agreement. Now, keep in mind, many times it's pretty straightforward. You delivered materials, you provided labor, and you haven't been paid. And that usually is evidenced by, again, either a written contract or pay requests or invoices that you've submitted that haven't been paid. So the more writings that you have to support the idea that you're entitled to be paid will support the concept of a breach of a contract. Be very careful about pay when paid provisions in your contract. This is an example of a situation where a pay when paid will really cut against you. So if you don't have rights against the owner for the lien because you missed a deadline or against the contractor's bond because you missed a deadline, if you have a pay when paid provision in your contract and the contractor hasn't been paid, they may be able to use that defense against you and not pay you. So if you sign a contract that says pay when paid, and you miss your lien or bond deadlines, then unfortunately, if the party that you want to sue for breach of contract hasn't been paid, and that pay when paid provision is found to be enforceable, they don't have to pay you. And that's an excuse that the court will enforce in the contract against you. Now, in our live seminars, and we'll talk about when the next live seminar is, we spend a lot of time talking about pay when paid provisions and how they can be determined to be unenforceable. So it's not a sure thing that just because you have a pay when paid provision that it's enforceable, but you just need to be aware of the issue. Next, let's talk about how to sue for unjust enrichment. The theory of unjust enrichment is pretty straightforward. It's that you conferred a benefit, that's the enrichment part, and you haven't been paid, that's the unjust part. Typically, we use a claim for unjust enrichment against parties that are further up the chain, which is, typically means the owner. So maybe you are a material supplier and you delivered materials to a job, you haven't been paid, and as a result, you of missing your deadlines, you need to make a claim against the owner for unjust enrichment. Your materials were delivered and incorporated, and you haven't been paid. That's a perfect claim for unjust enrichment. However, the primary defense that we see when owners receive claims for unjust enrichment is that if they've paid anybody, even the contractor, they will be absolved of liability on the unjust enrichment claim. Let me explain what I mean. If you haven't been paid when you're that far down the chain, maybe a sub-sub or a material supplier to a sub, your materials and work have been incorporated, so you make a claim for unjust enrichment against the owner. But the owner paid the contractor. The fact is that the contractor maybe didn't pay the sub, maybe he paid the sub, but the sub didn't pay you. Once the owner tenders payment that is consistent with his or her contract with the contractor, so the owner pays the money that he or she is supposed to, your claim for unjust enrichment will not be permitted. It's only when the owner is still holding money back from the contractor that your unjust enrichment claim will work. So where we see this is typically where it works is prior to the end of a job, when there is still a holdback that the owner has against the contractor. If it's well after the fact and the owner's paid the final bill, a claim for unjust enrichment against the owner probably is not going to work. So let's recap briefly. The first thing you need to do is know the basic notice and lien rules. You need to check to make sure that you've exhausted all of the exceptions that apply to the lien law if you've missed the deadline, because maybe there are exceptions that will allow you to make your claim. If you're further down the chain of command, you may have a claim against the subcontractor if the subcontractor is bonded. If all else fails, you can sue for breach of contract or sue for unjust enrichment.
Thanks for listening to the LeanZone.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or in your favorite podcast app. For articles, videos, and forms on this and other construction topics, head over to the LeanZone.com.